Struggling to move your nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to The Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Do you feel your nonprofit's not getting enough in monthly recurring donations? If so, then you need Sharing the Credit. Every time you go into a business and swipe your debit or credit card, one of the fees taken out by Visa and MasterCard at the end of the month goes back into the system. Now, normally this is a bank, but it is legally allowed to go to a registered nonprofit. Sharing the Credit worked with a small local nonprofit. They took this information to their donor base, and 19 businesses started using Sharing the Credit. Now, this small local nonprofit receives $11,000 in monthly recurring, unrestricted, ongoing donations. This is the definition of sustainable funding. Businesses have to take plastic, so they might as well use part of those fees to support their favorite cause, your nonprofit. Check out my affiliate link in the show notes for Sharing the Credit. Book a call with Will Black and start your journey to more donations and better relationships today.
Hey, welcome to the show and welcome back, Mandy Pierce. She's here from Funding for Good and she wants to tell you all the stuff you need to know. Mandy, update us on how you've been. It's been a while since we did our executive coaching and development planning conversation last year.
We did. Yes. Everything is good. Things are going great. Opening back up from COVID. So we're still doing lots of online content for folks, but getting more in person. We've been traveling around the country doing strategic planning, and that has been wonderful. We just got back from a week and a half in Wyoming, getting ready to head out to California, getting ready to go to Virginia, getting ready to be back in Wyoming. So we've got lots of travel planned for that this year, but we took the executive coaching to another level, and now we're working with consultants. So we're helping nonprofit consultants learn how to start their business, grow their business, and take it to the next level. And that's what we're here to talk about today.
So you're saying your business is doing one thing and now it's evolved over time. I thought once you started a business, you had to just stick with it, come hell or high water. Is that not how it works?
No. So our business, much like your business, has transitioned over time. And we just started initially as grants only. We did everything grants, full service, round the clock, everything you can imagine. That's what we did. That was it. And then we got into fundraising consulting, and then we got into development work and board development. And then we got into strategic planning because we really realized that was where the foundation of stuff was. And then as I learned more about being a consultant, I learned that I loved creating businesses and growing them. So I started doing some work with consultants who wanted to start their own business. And then I really loved that. So I created a boot camp and a webinar. And now I'm doing more of that, but we still do strategic planning and board development and consulting, but we don't do the hands-on, let this be your grant writer stuff anymore. We've kind of moved past that a little bit. We do the education pieces that go with it.
That's interesting. I know that I interview about a third, like nonprofit leaders, about a third business people, and really about a third of coaches and consultants, which are not the same thing. One does a little more teaching and one does a little bit more doing. It's interesting to see that so much of my audience actually does coaching or consulting in the nonprofit arena and is a large part of my audience as well. So what happened that you decided you wanted to coach coaches, so to speak, instead of work more with consultants?
So I work with both consultants and coaches. So people that have a nonprofit consulting business very often will provide coaching services in addition to consulting services. And a lot of times they don't know the difference. So for those people that may be listening to us that didn't know there was a difference, and those terms might be interchangeable in your language, consultants are going to share with you what to do and maybe guide you through the steps of learning how to do it, but they're not going to roll their sleeves up and do it for you or even with you. I'm sorry, that's consultants. Coaches are going to just teach you how to do it. So like if you're a coach for a little league team, you're going to tell them how to hit. You're going to show them how to catch. You're going to do those things, but you're not going to hit for them. You're not going to put their glove on and go catch for them during the game, right? So that is a coach. They're going to tell you what to do. They may demonstrate some piece of it at some point for you, but a consultant is the one that's going to be there rolling up their sleeves, standing behind you with their hands on the bat, like helping you swing through it. That is the consultant. They are going to roll the sleeves and do the work with you. I like to coach and consult with people who want to start a business, people who have started a business, or people who want to take a business to the next level. It's my opportunity to work with a different mindset. It's a for-profit mindset, and it's folks who have control over their own business. When I work with folks in the nonprofit world, as we all know, they have a board of directors, which is a lot of bosses. They can't make just decisions on the fly by themselves most of the time. They have a lot of different red tape to go through. So it's a different type of work. It's a different type of structure. And I really love the structure of working with business owners. So while nonprofits are small businesses, it's not the same as an LLC or an S Corp or a DBA. And so it just gives me a different perspective to help people learn a lot of the things that you and I have learned over time and teach them how to do things easier. Cause I learned a lot of stuff the hard way. You probably did too. And I don't want people to have to make those mistakes to get to the point where I am, right? I had a coach when I first started that probably helped me get where I got a whole lot quicker. And I think a lot of people don't feel like they have the dollars to invest or the time to invest in hiring a coach, but they don't realize how much more quickly they're going to be successful and how their revenue streams will grow more quickly if they have a coach to help them get there.
Yeah. How fast do you want your revenue stream to grow? Do you want to take 8 years to get to that point? Or do you want to figure it out in 8 months and get there, get that thing up, running, growing, and bringing in those dollars?
When did you decide you wanted to start your own business? I never asked you that.
I really like sharing my knowledge and the things that I've learned with people as much as possible. And I started helping people with finances more than a decade ago. And someone's like, you're doing great. And you've saved what for how many people? I was like, well, I've helped 400 people pay off $6 million in debt. And they were like, that sounds something like worth getting paid for if you're providing that much value. And I was like, interesting. And I started doing some reading and some different things like that. Cause I was, you know, in the middle of my military career. And I didn't grow up thinking that way. A lot of us aren't taught the things that have to do with business. So I really started learning about it and got excited. And then I realized the people that I was helping, I didn't want to charge them any money, which means they weren't my ideal client. And I changed what I was doing based a little bit on necessity and the desire to not charge those people money. And I started doing more things in the nonprofit world, and I got stationed overseas. And I was like, well, how am I going to keep helping nonprofits over here? What am I going to do that's productive for my life, help keep me out of trouble? You give me too much free time, I'm sure I'll mess it up. And the podcast became part of the conversation. And they were like, you know, Travis, you kind of have this nice podcast voice. And I was like, oh, do I? And they're like, oh yeah, you really do. I didn't believe them. Cause you know, we sound different to ourselves than what other people hear. And someone recorded me and they played it back. And I was like, who is that smooth operator right there? They're like, that's you. I'm like, oh, is it? Ooh. And I got excited and started doing podcast interviews with people helping nonprofits do it better and had a lot of fun with it.
Nice. See, everybody comes to business in a different way, but everybody has a story and you can learn how to grow it. So that's what I like to help people learn.
There's just so many different aspects to it. What really got me growing the business and looking to do bigger things, I was coming to the end of my Navy career. And I realized, first off, how much I love podcasting and talking to people. But I also love the fact that I can do it on whatever schedule I choose. I was like, I do not want to have to get up. Do not want to have to shave. Obviously, if you're watching the video, you'd be like, dude, you haven't shaved in a hot minute. That's true. But like, do I want to be tied to a building? These thoughts are happening before COVID started. And I'm like, I don't want to be tied. I don't want to leave the military and then just trade one master for another and have to get up and go to some stupid building every day to build someone else's dream that I don't care about as much as I care about the things that I care about, just like everyone has the things that they care about. And if I want to be able to travel, I was like, how am I going to make something that's portable that allows me to do what I enjoy doing, what makes me money from anywhere I want to? And had the discussion about designing what you want your day to look like. And most people, including myself at the time, had never thought about designing your perfect day. What does that look like? Who do you want to talk to? What time do you want to get up? Where do you want to be? What kind of conversations do you want to have? And when you start thinking about something like that, for me, nowhere in there was take myself downtown to some building, park and walk in, hit a time clock or wave to the boss by the water cooler. Like there was nowhere in my stuff. Like if I get a public speaking gig and I'm speaking in Rio and I like being in Rio, maybe I just want to hang out for 3 more weeks because I'm in Rio. I don't want to have to be tied to all that nonsense and commuting. And fortunately, one of the benefits of COVID, there was a lot of bad, but there was a lot of good. People realized how to use Zoom. People realized the value of remote work. And now, because of the huge shift worldwide, it's much more acceptable to be and conduct remote work, which is very beneficial to the way I want to live my life.
Yeah, I remember last year, I was trying to schedule vacation for my husband and I before he has a custom woodworking business, and we do shows like juried art shows and whatnot. And so art show season starts about the end of April. And I was like, oh, I want a vacation before then, because we won't have another break until November. Basically, that's all show season. And so I was trying to work my schedule around it. And I'm like, I own my own business. I can make my own schedule. So I had a couple of webinars I had to teach and a couple of interviews online that I had to do. And I said, you know what? I'm going to schedule these for, I know we'll get to the hotel at the city at 2 o'clock. So I'm going to schedule these things for 3 or 4, sit in the hotel room for an hour or two. And then the rest of the day, I've got whatever. And it really is creating the lifestyle that you want to have. And you can do that when you own your own business, as long as you can plan for it and as long as you can identify what that thing is. So it sounds like you have finally figured out what that is for you. And I love it when people get there.
I'm working on it. I'm still designing and crafting it, right? Michelangelo didn't craft David. I don't know if it was Michelangelo or Leonardo. I can't tell. I can't remember. And I was thinking DiCaprio. I was like, Da Vinci. No, different kind of Leonardo. But when talking about creating David, they didn't create David. They just removed all the things that weren't David. And I've got a David in there, and I'm slowly chipping away at the things that are not David to build my masterpiece of what I want to have and create and do. That's really a discovery process, right? When I started the podcast initially, I thought, oh, this is gonna be great. I'm gonna get all these nonprofit consulting gigs. It's gonna be wonderful. Everyone's gonna love me. And I had a lot of people sign up for conversations, but the vast, vast, vast majority of those people wanted me to get on the phone for 15 minutes or 30 minutes and then ask me how to do something and then never hire me. Was that your experience? Did you find out the same thing?
Yeah. So we had to learn everything like that the hard way, because I had never done it. So, you know, you want to try to grow a mailing list. What do you offer? You offer free things on your website. You have funnels, you have lead magnets, whatever you want to call them, that you use in different places. And then occasionally you'll have this place where people can sign up for a free 15-minute call. And usually you have crafted the verbiage around it to say, to learn more about how we can help you, blah, 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 which in your mind is, to give us money to work with you. And in their mind, it's, ooh, I can pick their brain for 15 minutes for free. And so then we'd get on all these calls and get super annoyed, because we'd realize, oh, this person has no intention of hiring me, or oh, this person has no budget to hire me. They're really just looking for me to give them the answers and walk away. And so that's how we created one of our revenue streams, you know, one of our more recent revenue streams from a couple of years ago. People can book an online consultation, but there's a fee associated with that. And it's an hour or 2 hours. And we actually do give you answers, and we do help you create solutions to your problems, but we're also getting paid for our time when we do it. And that has become my way of saying, my ideal client is not the 15-minute person that wants to pick my brain for free. My ideal client is the one who says, okay, I'm not sure what the answer is. I want to hear it from you. I'm going to pay you for that. And then maybe we'll work with you, but maybe that's all we need. Great. Either way, you've paid for that service, and we're both happy at the end of the day. There's been a lot of determining who the ideal audience is over the course of time. My ideal audience at one point in the business was people that want to learn grants, people that want to learn to grant write, grant research, you know, all the things. That is not my ideal audience anymore. Do we still offer that as an education tool? Yes. Do we still have webinars people can pay for on demand to learn that? Absolutely. Did we find other ways to optimize income around that? Absolutely. Because we had years and years and years of content we created. Why let it go? But now we're really moving towards foundational nonprofit work. So there's new revenue streams in the form of board development and education and strategic planning and creating development plans that help fully fund your organization and those types of things, which is a far cry from grant writing. So
yeah, it's much different. It's interesting how this stuff changes. When I got my first question about podcasting pretty early, we started the show, and within 3 months we were number 4 in the US, and questions started rolling in about podcasting. I found out that very few people were asking me about nonprofit work, and far more people were asking me about podcasting. So I stopped trying to push against this wall that was nonprofit work, I still have something like you created, right? I have a nonprofit in a box. It's got all the startup documentation you need. It's got an example of a 1040 or 1023 EZ, you know, copied in there. It's got example bylaws and it's got quarterly minutes and it's got all these things. It's like a disgusting amount of information in one place for a very reasonable price. And it sits there, but like you, far long are the days where like, oh, I'd love to pick your brain over lunch. Look, if you are interested in what a consultant has to offer and you say the words, pick your brain, they automatically don't want to talk to you. You sound like you're just going to be a leech or a vampire that's going to come and suck the life out of us for 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, however long it is, and then leave us empty and upset with what's been going on. Is there a lot of people that offer free consultations? Yes. But figure out, use that whatever that time is to figure out what your vision is moving forward, not figuring out how to do the one problem you have. Get on a discussion board, listen to a free podcast where they explain the answer. Don't just book time with the expert and expect them to fix your problems. Someone was like, yeah, man, I want to pick your brain over lunch. I sent him an invoice for $2,500 that said, pick your lunch on it. And I did it kind of as a joke because I know him, but he was like, he got upset. He was like, what do you mean? I was like, well, as upset as you are right now receiving this invoice, that's how upset I was when you asked me to pick my brain over lunch. Do you think that little of me and my business and my expertise that you think a $25 hamburger and a drink is worth my time?
So I said to someone recently who said, they wanted to set up a time to ask me some questions about this or that or whatever with their board of directors. And they're like, could we take you out to lunch? I'm like, sure. If you want to pay for my lunch and pay for a consultation fee, that's cool. Or we could just have the consultation. Either way, you know, like I didn't let them think that it was going to be, yes, pay for my lunch and you can ask me anything you want because I can buy my own lunch. Yesterday, I was with a friend who they have a consulting company, not just nonprofits. They work mostly with for-profits, but they don't charge consultation fees. And during lunch, she and I were talking and she's telling me about the story of this lady that she's worked with recently, 12 hours of work that she's done waiting to onboard this lady. And then it fell through. And I was like, why didn't you charge for the time? Well, you know, we don't really charge for onboarding and we were kind of getting to know her and doing some behind the scenes research to make sure of this and that. And, da, 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 da. And then it came out, you know, really seemed like she wasn't willing to do anything if she had to pay for it. And then she wasn't going to go forward with the this and the that. And I said, okay. She's like, but when people book, then it's really good revenue. And I said, yeah, but let's just say it was $200 an hour. If you had charged her at least that, you'd made $2,400 for your time and she wouldn't have booked. But now you didn't charge her anything. You lost 12 hours. You didn't make anything and she didn't book. So I don't understand why you're not charging for your time. And she's like, yeah, I think we're going to probably rethink this model, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, they've always done it that way, which is part of the problem.
And that's a cuss word, right? We've always done it this way. Like if you're listening to this and you know me and you want to get me riled up, say that because we're friends, right? But if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I didn't realize I was saying that. Whatever it is that you've always done this way, chances are it got outdated years ago. Years ago. There's no chance that you're on the cutting edge, the leading edge, and most nonprofits are not. Big ship, little rudder, but...
And that's the thing. These are for-profit consultants. They don't even work with nonprofits, really. It's across the board. Nonprofit consultants, consultants of every kind, have this issue with charging for their time for a consultation. And I said, if I feel like I need your services, I'm happy to pay for your time because you can't just have free calls all day and expect to pay your bills. That's not, you know, the heart doesn't pay the bills, people.
Well, I have a problem being paid hourly. Like, am I an hourly employee? Like, how do you determine, right? There's hourly based stuff. Sounds like onboarding time and project based stuff. Like as a consultant, like how do you decide?
So we only have, we only have two things that we charge for hourly. One is consultations because it's either 1 or 2 hours. That's it. And the other thing is we charge hourly for federal grant writing when we do it, which, like I said before, is much and much less than it used to be. But we always give a quote, pay 50% of the quote and then the final balance. But it is calculated based on hourly for the client. So they know, you know, we're $250 an hour and we're estimating it's going to be a 40-hour process. So they have an idea where that came from. Everything else we do is project-based. And this is what I mean by that. You as a consultant have to have a, this is what I want to make an hour in your head. You have to know, like, what are you trying to bring home an hour so you can pay your bills and put gas in your car and actually make money and put it in the bank. And most people, A, don't have that. And it's not realistic when they do. But B, you have to determine how long is it going to take me to provide this service, right?
To include research.
Yes. Maybe it's a service that you know, this is not going to take me more than 10 hours. And your hourly fee is going to be $50. Great. You charge $500 for that service. If it takes you 8 hours, whatever. If it takes you 12 hours, you've learned from that process, right? But people that do coaching and consulting are typically having longer retainer type work. So 6 months or a year or whatever. So you have to sit down and think of all the things you're going to offer this client, how much time you're going to commit, figure out the total based on your hourly and divide it by the total of months that you're going to be working. And that's how you come up with a project-based price. I refuse to do hourly-based pricing or tell people what the breakdown is of what they're paying for. And this is why. When you go to the doctor's office and you walk in, you're going to pay a fee for your visit. You're not going to pay a fee for if your visit was 10 minutes or less, or if your visit was 20 minutes or less, right? You're going to pay for your visit. And if they provide you with any medications, you're going to pay for those too. And if the doctor doesn't fix you or solve your problem, you're still going to pay for the visit because they used all their knowledge and expertise, did the best they could. If they have to refer you to someone else, then you have to go to someone else and pay them too. But you're paying for their expertise and their time, not for the number of minutes you were in their office. That's just how it works.
What's that old story? You call an emergency electrician to come in to fix your manufacturing. He's got a bill. He's like, I can fix it for you, but it's going to be $20,000. Like, $20,000. We've got to get every minute this is not running. We're losing $50,000. Please, dear God, here's the, you know, $20,000. Walks in, he turns one screw, and he comes back and is like, happy to take, you know, check or card. And he's like, $20,000. It only took you a minute. Like, how do you even invoice that? So he wrote an invoice. He said, $1 for to turn the screw and $19,999 to know which screw to turn.
Yeah, it's really what it is. And that's my thing when I explain people about project-based pricing. Your client is paying you for an end result or an end product. It shouldn't matter how long it takes you to get there. If they feel like the value of that is $5,000 and it takes you 5 minutes, great. And if it takes you 50 hours, great. Whatever. They're not paying you for the amount of time it took you to do it. They're paying you for the knowledge of knowing how to get them to that point.
Right. And either way, it's less time than they would have taken to do it because it's outside of their zone of genius anyway.
Yes. And so that's the thing that people don't understand. And a lot of times people want guarantees about work product and things like that. And I always tell people, we have this meme that we use sometimes on social media. I can write your resume, but I can't get you a job. You know, like I can give you lots of tools to do the things you need to do, but I can't guarantee that you're going to be able to implement them and use them all 100% the way you should. But I can tell you what to do. I can tell you how to do it. And I give you the tools to do it. You still have to do the work yourself.
Yeah, I can give you the hammer. It's up to you to build the house.
Yes. And that's what people very oftentimes don't understand. They're like, we want to outsource this thing. But sometimes outsourcing still means you have to be part of the process and you have to do some work. If you're trying to outsource a position, you need to hire somebody and internally have an employee on staff. Yeah. So, I mean, even as a consultant, outsource people. You know, there's things that you and I could do. Like you just said earlier, you have your staff go through transcripts and clean that stuff up and make it possible for you to, you know, create blogs and great content to share with the world. You could do it. And I'm sure at one point in your career, you did do it, right? And then you're like, okay, I could do that and make, I'm making numbers up, but like, see, I could make $25 an hour doing that. Or I could pay someone else to do it while I am consulting with someone for $200 an hour, right? So you're paying them less than you're making and you're still making more money. So all in all, that's something you should outsource. It's not your unique brilliance anymore. You have other skill sets that are the things you should focus your energy on. So even as a consultant, there are times when you're going to need to outsource. Have a virtual assistant, have a copywriter, have a videographer, have a whatever. And so that's one of the things that we talk about with both of our nonprofit clients and nonprofit consultants is learning when to outsource.
Well, how do you know what to outsource?
the things that are not your unique brilliance.
But how do you know? How do you know of all the things we do in a day, how do I determine of all these things what I should or should not outsource?
So I tell people to get a piece of paper and write a cross on it, just an X. And in the upper left corner, you're going to put all the things that you like and you're good at. In the upper right corner, you're going to put all the things that you don't love, but you're good at, right? The bottom left, you're going to put all the things that you like, but you're not good at. And in the bottom right, you're going to put the things that you
don't like and you're not good at.
Yes. You know, all the opposites.
Yeah.
And at the end, you're going to circle all the things at the top. Those are the things you're going to do. And everything at the bottom are things you're eventually, even if you can't right now today, you're eventually going to outsource. Because those are not your unique brilliance. You might love to sit down and play in Canva and learn how to design, you know, memes for your social media channel. But you might suck at it. It might, like me, I suck at it. It might take me an hour to create a meme that is mediocre. And I could send that to my design team and it would literally take them like 10 minutes and they'd send me something amazing back. Why would I spend my time on that? That's something I should outsource, even though I enjoy it, right? And then there's other things that like I don't like and I'm not technology, not good at, don't like, will pay other people to do as much of it as I can. I have a tech guy that lives in Chicago and he has access to all my computers all the time. And I'm like, Mike, something's broken. And he will log in and fix it for me from afar because I don't want to learn it. I don't want to deal with it, right? Just do it, please. And then there's other things that you could outsource, but if you're good at it and you know how to do it and you like it, you should do it. Or if you're just good at it, even if you don't love it, you should just do it. Mm-hmm. And you'll learn those things over the course of time. Like I'm sure when you started your first business, you didn't necessarily know podcasting was a thing that you were going to be amazing at, but now you do.
Let's be honest. I've always had an idea that I might possibly be good at podcasting. I do like to talk. Apparently have a great voice, but you know, so I went through this process that you're speaking of. I didn't do it the way you did it, but since I just recently retired from the Navy and I've got, you know, all the dollars I want, I got to kill what I eat, right? I've got to do all the things to make sure the income is where it needs to be. I went through my list. Someone said, hey, go through all the stuff that you do in a day and in a week and just a plus or a minus. How do you feel when you're done with the thing? Do you feel energized, ready to go, could do more? Is it there's a circle too, like could go either way, or is there a minus by it? When you're done with it, do you feel drained? Do you feel wore out? Do you feel whatever? And I had some things I've been doing for money and different little consulting things. And there was one recurring meeting every week that I did that I initially really enjoyed it. I don't know if I changed. I don't know if the style of meeting or how it was conducted changed. I don't know if the people changed, but the last 3 weeks it had minuses by it.
Ooh.
And I reached out to the guy running the show and I said, hey, I need you to look for a replacement for me. I'm not the kind of guy that leaves someone high and dry. And he's like, what changed? I was like, I went and did this evaluation of all the things in my week. And I noticed that I had put a minus by it. And I thought back about it every time after this meeting, even though it's just about an hour, I feel completely drained. I don't feel like it adds value to my life. Like it doesn't energize me and I'm not going to spend, I refuse to spend my time doing things that drain me. I did the same thing with the people in my life last year. How do I feel when their name pops up on my phone? How do I feel when I see a come across their post on social media? Like when I'm done talking to this person, do I feel energized, ready to go? I can take on the world. Oh man, me and Mandy had so many ideas. We're going to write this down and we're going to build the next big thing. Or do I see Mandy come up and I'm like, oh man,
right?
Oh Mandy, do I even want to spend, I don't feel that way about Mandy, but you have to evaluate the things in your life, whether it's business specifically, you make the cross and you have like good, like not good, don't like, but good, don't like, don't, not good at, like, no matter how you decide it, you have to know, was it like Marie Kondo? Like, does it give me joy? If not, let it go. Whatever the thing is for you, we have to reevaluate because eventually, just like stuff in the house, we collect tasks, we collect meetings, we collect people. And just because we've collected them doesn't mean they bring us joy or value, doesn't mean they're worth our time, energy, or effort, or our emotional state. Whatever the thing is, you need to evaluate it. Like, does it, do you need more of it? Does it kind of what, whatever, or does it really drain the life out of you and you need to dump it?
I love that evaluation process. And I think I may start using that a little bit, because really what I'm, when I do that unique brilliance exercise, it's just for work stuff, but you could do it for anything, I guess. This past year, I'm a little like not clinically diagnosed OCD, but like I'm a super neat freak. And I like for everything to be clean all the time. And I just can't get to it all. Like, we don't have a big house, but still, like, if it's going to be clean, like I think things should be clean, it's a lot of freaking work. And so last year I decided at the end of the year, I'm going to let this go and I'm going to hire somebody every week to come in and help me clean the house. Like, I think that's a fair comparison, like a fair thing to let go. And the dollars were equivalent. Like, I'm going to not do this thing that costs this much, and I'm going to do this thing that costs this much. And I got to tell you, since the first day that I had this lady helping me out, I was like, oh my God, I don't have to worry about the house not being clean or figuring out how to schedule 6 hours into my week just to do it or whatever. And like, it's clean all the time. And I'm not stressed out about it, even with two dogs that live inside with us. It has made the biggest difference in my life. Now, when I'm retired and I have all the time in the world, I'll go back to cleaning my own house. No big deal. But it just like, it made me happier and gives me extra hours to just like sit and be a person without being like, I'm going 12 to 15 hours a day and I don't have time to live a life, which I think is a huge problem for most people these days. I'm like, I just want more hours in my day. And it made me happy.
Yeah, it's the difference between being busy and having time dedicated to peace of mind. I think busy is a terrible thing.
My mom gave me a subscription to Our State for Christmas, and it had a note on it that said, when this comes every month, I want you to take time to read it.
What is Our State?
It's like a North Carolina state focused magazine with articles about places and people and restaurants and all the things North Carolina.
Sponsored by Cheerwine.
Cheerwine's usually in it. But my thing is, like, I have three on my desk and I haven't read them yet. And I'm like, I see them every day and I think about that. And I'm like, why can I not schedule enough time to read these stinking magazines? I enjoy it. It makes me happy. I love it. Just crazy.
They're in the wrong room. They got to be in the toilet room.
They're in the room I spend the most time in.
But you're spending time in there doing specific things.
I know. It sucks, man. And I have one that I started because I had a whole day off a couple weeks ago. And I got like 7 pages in, and that's as far as I've made it. Just, you know.
But what's the reason to even read the magazine? Is it because mom said?
No, I love the magazine, which is why she got it for me.
So what's holding you back?
Yeah, I just haven't made the time to do it. I got plain and simple.
Haven't prioritized it? You don't think, if you thought it had immense value, there's no reason you wouldn't read it. You must not feel that it's more important than the other things you already have scheduled.
Yeah, it's fun stuff.
Well, so there you go. Do you schedule fun quality of life things within your week?
I need to, and I don't, but I should. I can be honest.
I have, this has come up for me. A lot of people ask me about this. Like, how do you get so much stuff done? Like last year I did a podcast every week. So 52 podcasts in a year. But I also spoke at 6 conferences. I also hosted the Veteran Podcast Awards. I also hosted Miss Oklahoma pageant. I also was still active duty Navy, had a wife and kids, and finished up my master's degree and changed my business and created a college course that is accredited and available for you to take. You can learn about podcasting, get college credit, transfer into any school you're going into. Check out my link. But I did all that last year. And they're like, how on earth do you get so much done? And it's not about, you know, scheduling things in my week, but I have time set in my week for specific things. Monday and Wednesdays are the only days I schedule for a nonprofit architect. That's it. You can't get me a nonprofit architect stuff any of those other times. I have certain times throughout the week where I'm a guest on a podcast. Thursdays are dedicated to my networking. Tuesdays are dedicated to my learning. And Fridays, I catch all day. And about every other Friday, I schedule golf or outdoor time or friend time. Or I go to like a matinee or like an early movie, right? And go hang out. But I schedule my fun. I schedule time dedicated to that. Saturday mornings, like our family doesn't go do a lot of stuff. That's just not like how it is. I schedule some interesting work catch-up time Saturday morning because that's when I have available and I feel free to do it. And then Saturday evenings are usually dedicated to friends. So figuring out what block of time works best for you and ensuring you're inviting yourself to your own party, high on my priority list. And I try to have a party for me every week.
So yesterday, I took the whole day off and went to see a friend out of town and had lunch and went shopping and went to two bakeries. Yes, two. You know, like, so I scheduled those types of things. Those are the things I schedule. I don't typically schedule the let me sit down and read a magazine stuff, but I should. And I should do more of that. So, yeah, nice realization to have.
It is good. I got some friends, Stephen Kuhn and Lane Blown. I've done a lot of business with them. They're both also prior guests on the show, and they always end every meeting with, like, it's all about quality of life. You are doing something in your business, your nonprofit, your consulting, whatever it is that you call your work, you're doing it for a reason. One of those reasons is dollars, but it's not just dollars for your bills. It's dollars for your life. Are you going to spend the dollars to buy your kid a new football so you can go spend some time in the backyard throwing the ball around? Are you going to buy those dollars so you can get an RV and go camping throughout the US? What are you spending those dollars on? It doesn't matter how many dollars you have if some of those aren't used for you for your fun.
I agree.
Yeah, you can have all the dollars in the world and buy Twitter or whatever it is that you want to do with all your dollars, but it's got to have some kind of fun component for you.
Yeah, it's all about building the life of your dreams.
Yeah, designing your actual life.
Yeah.
But you've changed businesses, right? Not businesses, but your business has transformed over time.
It has.
How do you determine who it is you want to work with? How do you even know?
So, you know, initially it was anybody that wanted to pay me, just straight up. That was how it started.
That's how everyone feels. Like, if they're willing to give them money, I'm willing to talk to them.
And now it is really more about figuring out, is what this person needs, what I can deliver, and do I want to work with them? Do they have the resources? Do they have the structure? Do they have the desire, the time to really be successful working with me? And I've turned people away and said, you know what? I'm happy to take your money, but I don't think that this is what you need right now. I don't think that this is where you need to start. And I'm very honest with people about that because I'm finally at a place in my career, and I have been for a while, where I don't have to take every client that comes through the door. And that feels good to be able to say, yeah, I really appreciate it, but I'm not interested in that right now, or that's not what we do, or we used to do that, but we don't anymore. And so, you know, being able to say to people, we are not interested in being your full-time grant writer. I say that all the time because we are expert grant writers and we do create templates and help people with their grant processes, but that's not what we do anymore. And I have other consultants I'm happy to refer you to, but we're not your, that's not us. And so being able to clearly accept, I have let a demographic go from who my ideal clients are. I like it because now I have all these other people that I want to work with. There's a consultant that I know, her ideal client is startup nonprofits and founders. I don't want to work with startup nonprofits and founders. There's so many issues, so few resources, a lot of disorganization most of the time, and they're not ready to take those big foundational steps of growing and building capacity and doing those things. They're just not able. They haven't got enough years of experience yet. That's her ideal client. That's who she loves to work with. So I refer those people to her most of the time. There are the exceptions, people that really did their homework and have great research and, you know, resources are established and the foundation was done correctly and they are ready. And I have taken those clients, but most of the time it's organizations that are a little bit more developed and robust and established that end up being our clients that we work with. And for nonprofit consultants, it's really three stages. People who are thinking about a side hustle, or maybe they have a little bit of a side hustle, but they still have a full-time job. People that have a side hustle they're ready to go full-time with, like, okay, I'm working two full-time jobs right now. I just have to choose. And they're ready to take that step. And then people who are in a full-time consulting company running their business that want to make more money, create new revenue streams, go from hourly to project-based pricing, like taking all those next big steps, growing an email list, creating some passive income. Those are the people that I love to work with for my nonprofit consulting work.
Yeah, no, absolutely. When I think of who I want to work with, the things that I really think about is the available resources. Like, can they pay me? And it's not that there's a consultant out there for every budget. And I want the people that are ready to take action today, that are going to show up, that are going to, you know, put their money where their mouth is, not because, you know, I think I'm worth so much or this, that, and the other. Like, what I mean by that payment is they are understanding the expertise that they need in their lives and in their business or whatever that might look like. And they know they don't have it and they have to pay to get to that point. And people are like, oh, that just sounds so weird. I'm like, did you pay to go to college? You understand they had the expertise and the resources. You paid them to go to college.
Most of us have created resources for the people who don't want to pay or never going to pay or don't feel like they can pay, right? We have podcasts. Those are free. We have blogs. We have videos on YouTube channels. We have downloads. We have free templates. We have all these things. And that's where you go when you don't want to pay for something. You use the free resources. And when you want someone to help you be successful, to walk you through it, to be there to answer your questions, and to also be your resource, that's when you outsource to someone or when you hire a consultant or a contractor or a coach. And so, yeah, we direct people to all those free resources and we don't let those go away because we want to support the people who don't feel like they're there yet. But when you feel like you're there and you're ready, that's when you and I come in and we're like, all right, let's make this happen. Let's do it.
Yeah. You don't show up McDonald's to work and expect to just volunteer your time. Yeah. You expect to get paid. That's how it goes. Yeah. So I look at available resources, mindset, and capacity. Capacity might be time. That might be resources. That might be a team. Mindset. I made this decision last year. I refuse to have anyone in my life, whether it's friend or client or otherwise, that is not at the abundant mindset. If they have a scarcity mindset, if they're in survival mode, I'm not the right fit for you. I'm just not. I don't want to have those conversations. I'm not interested. It completely drains me. Now, if you're in an abundant mindset and you're having a bad day, hey, completely understand. I'm not going to discount a bad day. But if you think there's not enough, there's nonprofits out there, right? They're like, oh, we don't have enough, or we're a startup, or we're a nonprofit, so we can't pay. Fun fact, most of my clients were nonprofits. They paid. There is money in nonprofits. Let's not pretend. But if you feel that way, you're not going to be interested in any of the things that I have to say, because as far as you're concerned, there's not enough. There's nearly 8 billion people in this world. There's food aplenty, not always in the places that it needs to be, but there is more than enough to go around. I'm not competing with Mandy for consulting clients, because there's more than enough people that need consulting or coaching or whatever variety you call yourself, that if they're not a good fit for Mandy, she might be like, you know what, Travis, these might be right up your alley. If they're not a good fit for me, hey, Mandy, I have got the person for you. We're not competing, not because I'm really great and she's no good.
That's the wrong mindset. We've always been, let's collaborate. There's too much work. I can't do it all. My team can't do it all. And I know that for my company, I don't want to grow big enough to do it all. Like, I don't want to have more staff. I don't want to have to manage people. I don't want my work to be my life forever. And so I know I'm not going to grow this company beyond where it is. Like, we will continue to help people at the capacity we are. And those are the number of people we can help a year. So yeah, I want to refer people to other amazing consultants. And I feel like more consultants should have that. Like, if a consultant calls me and says, hey, can you send me a sample of what your contract looks like? Because I'm new and I don't know how to blah, blah, blah. Yeah, sure. You shouldn't have to pay a lawyer to help you create some BS when everybody in the world has a contract. Here's a contract. Make it your own. You know, people don't want to ask for a sample of, what do you use for your intake tool? It's a freaking questionnaire, people. It's not that deep.
Google Forms. Here's a copy. Make it your own.
Exactly. And so that's why we have a template page of over 50 templates people can download on the spot in a Word document, change that bad boy, make it your own. Do whatever you want to it. I don't care. I created it for some client at some point and somebody may need it. Child protection policy, sample bylaws, blah, 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 whatever. But then there are some that we spent money creating so they would be fillable templates and super professional. And yeah, there's a fee associated with those, but it's like $37. So yeah, you know, it's like share and help people out. Do you remember how you said you're 40 back in the day when you were growing up?
Back in the day in the 80s.
Right, exactly. Someone would be like, hey, so-and-so's moving, and 10 people would get together and help them move in like 5 hours. Today, it's like, So-and-so is moving. I'll pay you and feed you pizza for dinner if you'll come help me move. What the hell is wrong with people these days? Sorry, excuse my French. I just don't understand what happened to our society where it's like you can't ask a neighbor to help you with something without offering to pay them, or you can't call and ask somebody a question without offering something in exchange. What happened to that society?
I know, but I know what happened, right? As people, as individuals, I'm willing to help people. People ask me for help all the time. Help different than asking me for business stuff, right? Willing to help all the time, right? I'm okay with helping people. But what happens when I need help? Am I not okay asking for help?
Right.
What the heck happened here, right? It's okay for you to bless people in your sphere, but are you saying it's not okay for people to bless you?
Right.
And when I say that to people, they are completely floored and like, I never looked at it that way.
Yeah.
I was like, didn't you watch so-and-so's dog for the week last week? Yeah, I was so glad I could help. Wouldn't they be so glad to help you this week?
They could help you. I have that conversation with my husband all the time. So he's Latino and like, he just doesn't want to ask anybody for anything, you know? And I'm like, baby, how many people have you let borrow your trailer to move or to haul stuff or to do this or do that? Well, yeah, but I mean, we already have that. Exactly. So you're asking them to do something that you need help with that's going to take an hour. Don't you think they'd want to be able to help you? I just don't want to impose and blah, 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 whatever. Like, I'm the first person to call and be like, hey, I need help with this. Can you help me with this?
We can't do it alone. And someone told me, they're like, I can do it myself. I can't think of a single thing that I have or that I have done that I needed anyone else for. I said, perfect. Where's the cotton field that you own, that you grow and cultivate the cotton to spin it into the thread to weave the shirt that you're wearing? Well, that's not what I mean. BS, man. It's not it at all. Everyone has to use, everyone else use. Don't take that out of context. We all need things from other people, whether it's the need, the want, the share, the whatever level it is. I didn't engineer, you might be surprised, I did not engineer and create this microphone stand. I didn't do it. Someone else did it. Someone used their expertise, their zone of genius. I said, here's my dollars. Give me the thing that you're magical at. Please, dear God, I can't do it on my own. Right?
Yeah. I just, like, I want to help people. And I feel like you do too, which is why we create stuff like this, you know, like why we have podcasts out in the world. People aren't like, oh, I'm going to pay for this podcast today because I want to hear what Mandy and Travis have to say. But I just wish it could extend a little further into our society. I feel like things have changed a lot since you and I were kids, and I don't know that it's all for the better.
I don't know. I think there's still good people out there that are willing to help. I think that there's all sorts of these things in the evil media empire. I'm of course joking. They want to tell you the stuff that's going on in the world that's bad, the things that are problems, which means all the things they're not reporting on is good. I would remember getting my passport to go over to the Middle East for a year. And I'm standing in line and there was a shooting at an airport in Florida. And I really enjoy injecting myself in other people's lives. So if someone's having a conversation, I'm like, ooh, what's going on? Can I help? Is this a bat signal going up? Do they need me? And she was like, I don't know. I'm kind of nervous. Like, I don't know if I should fly because there was an airport shooting. And I was like, hey, I got a question for you. I heard what you said about the airport shooting. I know it's concerning. I was like, let me ask you a question. How many airports are there in the world? She's like, well, I don't know. I was like, would it be fair to say there's thousands of airports? And she's like, yeah, I can see that. And how many flights do you think are happening in a day per airport? 100? She's like, sure, we'll say that. And I was like, when was the last time you heard of a problem in an airport? And she's like, oh, that's a good question. I know there was one in the 90s. I was like, so between then and now, in the last 25 years, there's been millions upon millions upon millions of flights that have come and go without any mention in the news whatsoever. But you're worried about this one you happen to hear about? And she's like, I see your.
We wouldn't have heard about it if we didn't have the technology we have today. My dad just made that thing again.
Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't have even known. You would have gone flying and not cared anyway. Why are we concerning ourselves with these things that are one in a million, one in 10 million, one in a billion circumstance? Why are we taking up any of our brain power, any of our bandwidth, any of our emotional state on this one thing that happened?
You know, that's a perfect, what you just said about why are we spending any of our brain power and bandwidth on this thought? I really try to get across to the folks that I'm able to work with that want to be or that are consultants, coaches, whatever you want to call them, to help them understand once you've determined something in your business, whether it's I'm going to offer this thing or I'm not going to offer this thing anymore, or this is my ideal client or these are not my ideal clients. Once you make that decision, confidently go forward with those decisions and stop second guessing yourself and stop spending time wasting energy on rethinking it, rehashing it. Should I not have? Da, da, da. You made the decision. Now let's just move on. Because if not, you're never going to move forward in your business. You're just going to spend time spinning your wheels when you could actually be helping someone or making money. Or,
you know, if I could go back to that time, I would have made a different decision. No, you wouldn't have. Do you know how I know? Because you had all the information you had, and that's what you decided. Knowing what you know now, you would have made a different decision. But going back, you wouldn't have, because that's the decision you made with all your capacity, with all your intelligence, with all your experience, with all the people you asked, all the consultation that you had. That was the best decision for you at the time. Did it not work out the way you wanted to? True. And now you know that piece of information. So going forward, you're going to make more informed decisions. And if you have a podcast, you're going to share a more informed view and be like, you know what? When I did this last year, I was promoting this, that, and the other, and boy, was I wrong. I sucked. I didn't have the experience I needed to move forward, but now I know. Now I've got the secret, and I'm here today to share it with you.
You know, one of my clients said to me, we don't hire you as our consultant because you have all the answers. We hire you, and I've been working with them for 4 years. We hire you as our consultant because if you don't have the answers, we know that you have the resources to find them for us.
Yes. It's not about the answer. The answer is not the solution. The journey towards the answer. The journey towards the answer. Yes.
I like it.
Oh my God.
And for those people who want to learn more about nonprofit consulting, we are hosting a nonprofit consulting conference August 25th and 26th, 2022, depending on when you're listening to this podcast. So Travis is going to put in the notes, nonprofitconsultingconference.com, because that's a super complicated website. And if you want to learn more about it, you can go there and book your seat and join us for a 2-day conference. And we will share more with you about it on the website. I won't take up a ton of time marketing it right now, but if you're thinking about starting a business, if you have one started and you're ready to go full-time, or if you're full-time and you're ready to grow and make the money of your dreams, this is going to be the conference for you.
I'm excited. I can't wait for August. I don't know if you guys know this, but I have a little bit in to be one of those speakers. It may or may not happen. I don't know what life's going to bring my way, but you might just find that I'm up there speaking about ways to build passive income in your business, how to make money off the clock. Active hours is BS. You want active hours? Be a lawyer. Charge for every waking moment of your life. You want to make money when you sleep? Check out how to make money passively and wake up with money in your bank account that you didn't have when you went to sleep.
Exactly. It's the best feeling, truly. And I'm going to be talking all about how to go from hourly to project-based pricing and what you need to know to put in your contracts to make that happen. So it's going to be awesome. Well, Travis, thank you so much for having me today. This has been awesome.
I always enjoy having conversations with you, and so happy to have you back on the show again. Check out Mandy's upcoming August 22 conference, nonprofitconsultingconference.com. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit http://nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.